Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
It's always great to sit down and have a conversation with Rich Scarcella. Rich, welcome back. So great to hear you again.
Great to be with you, Steve.
Interesting times, as always. We'll start with Big Ten Media Day, which was broadcast on Big Ten Network, so fans got to see a lot of it. I mean, just your thoughts on, you know, there weren't surprises, but just your thoughts on the overall Media Day and how it went.
Well, for obvious reasons, I think a lot of the focus was on Northwestern and what has gone on there over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I wasn't surprised by that. I was surprised that the athletic director and or the president didn't have a Q&A with the group of media there instead of the interim football coach, who handled himself well. But that surprised me as it pertains to Northwestern. You know, some of the other things, I know James Franklin said this in his breakout session after he was on the stage, that, and this isn't shocking in the day and age of NIL and transfer portal, is that schools approach some Penn State players about trying to woo them to come there to their respective schools. And Talia Tagovailoa said the same thing, that he was offered money through NIL to go to other schools. So really, that's, to me, those are the two things that stood out. As it pertains to Penn State, there really wasn't anything new, except I thought James Franklin made it clear that adding weight and size and bulk to the defensive line and some other positions was very important since last season. And he pointed out several people, Olu Fashanu, one of them, Adisa Isaac, and also Drew Aller, as people have changed their body composition since the end of last season. So, to me, they're my three takeaways.
Was there any deal made about Noah Shannon not being there? Because he pulled out because his name being linked to the possible gambling scandal that came out in May. And what stunned me was that Shannon's the one that pulled his name out, and Iowa didn't. I'm sitting there like going, wait a minute. And, oh, we praise his leadership. Well, where's your leadership? Yeah. You shouldn't have put him on the list to begin with.
Yeah, I, Steve, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't in Indianapolis because our new ownership, I haven't been there since 2018. But I followed it very, very closely. So I don't have an answer for you on that, but that was definitely peculiar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Why does the player have to pull his name out? You shouldn't have put him on the list to begin with. I mean, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. When you watched Tony Petitti on BTN, the new commissioner, really the first time he's really presented himself like this, what were your thoughts, especially when it came to what he said about potential realignment?
I thought it was interesting in that it came, let's see, how many hours before the news leaked that Colorado was going to the Big 12. I was impressed with him. I think he's good at – he presented himself well, communicated well. He had interesting things to say about the NIL, which, you know, everybody has their own opinions about it. But when it came to realignment and expansion, I know he said that they have no plans to expand, which surprised me a little bit, to rule that out. So maybe there's something going on in the back rooms, especially now that the Pac-12 is down to the Pac-9 come 24 or whenever Colorado is able to go to the Big 12. I thought that was interesting, but that he kind of ruled that out, at least for the time being.
Yeah, that's something with adding, and we'll talk more about this next year, about adding USC and UCLA. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty complicated deal because it's not as if you're expanding and you're the NFL and you're going from 32 to 34 teams. You add two schools and you're adding 22 sports apiece. You're not just adding football and basketball. It's complicated.
It's very complicated, and I'm going to guess you're going to see schedules, and maybe you've heard this too. I'm going to think with basketball, you're going to see things similar to how they do it in the Pac-12 right now and how they do it in the Ivy League. They play two games on the weekend. Now, in the Ivy League, it's Saturday or it's Friday and Saturday. In the Pac-12, it's either Thursday and Saturday or Friday and Sunday. I would think when either those two teams come east, or the rest of the Big Ten goes west, I think you're going to see that, at least in men's and women's basketball, you're going to see them play a couple games there because it makes no sense to travel for, like, one game, cross-country. But it is complicated. Look at all the Olympic sports that, how are they going to travel? They're not going to travel by charter. They're going to have to travel commercial, and that obviously throws a big wrench into things.
Obviously, there are rules on sponsorships and so forth, but we've seen now the NBA put sponsorships on jerseys. Subtle. Baseball, subtle, but on the sleeve of jerseys. We've seen the NHL do that. Subtle. NFL training camps. Now, should the door open, especially in this era where people are talking about getting money to student-athletes, should college sports consider the possibility of sponsorships on jerseys?
Yes. I think it's going to happen. When, I don't know. But when they're trying to look at every avenue to raise money, I think that's a very viable option, putting patches on uniforms. You see it, we know, international soccer, you see it there, or in the Premier League and so on. I think it's going to happen. I would imagine. How soon, I don't know. But I don't think, as much as it hurts me to see a advertisement on the left sleeve of the New York Yankees, I think you got to move on with, you got to adjust to the times, and I think that you're going to see that in college.
Yeah. What's your thought on Penn State heading into training camp?
The Penn State football annual, which I write for, we're asked to make predictions. And I think most of the people who write for the football annual, they're all beat writers. I think everybody but two picked 11-1 for the regular season. That includes me. I've written it so many times within the last several months. You're measuring sticks Ohio State and Michigan now, not just Ohio State. And it doesn't surprise me that a group of Big Ten writers pick Penn State third because all the other all the preseason magazines have them, I think, third in the Big Ten East. I think it can be a very, very exciting year. It could be a very, very special year. I think, you obviously have a question mark at one of the wide receiver spots. You obviously have a question mark, not because of who's going to be there, but a question mark is how do you replace Jair Brown at safety? But I think if Drew Aller has the kind of year that some people, that it's not just the first year of starting, that he actually, jumps in with, feet first and excels right away, I think it could be a real special season because, as James Franklin said this week in Indy, he anticipates teams to load the box, at least early, to stop Nick Singleton and Catron Allen and force a first-year starter to beat them. And I think a lot depends on Aller and how he plays. Obviously, you're closer to the program than me, but you hear nothing but glowing things about him. And so, it has the potential to be a special season, and it's – but you have to beat Ohio State and Michigan. You have to do that. And, they haven't been able to beat Ohio State but once since 2012. They've lost to Michigan the last 2 years. They've had a little bit more success against them. But, yeah, I mean, I think the season is going to come down to those two games.
When it comes to judging a season, has the transfer portal made it more difficult compared to, quote, the old days when you'd look at returning guys versus then adding in a few freshmen? Has the transfer portal complicated the thought process and what you think a season could be or what an opponent could be like?
Sure. Oh, gosh, yeah, it's another X factor. It's another factor you have to consider that you didn't have to do that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever. Yeah, you know, and, you know, while you can add talent or lose talent, you don't know, none of us really does, how that will affect the makeup of the team internally and how that will impact the team internally. You know, you can add the greatest offensive lineman in the world and or lose the greatest offensive lineman in the world, but how does that impact the rest of the team? And do you have somebody how much does that upgrade the position? Does that transfer fit in? Penn State has had tremendous success with the transfers that they brought in recent years. And, obviously Chop Robinson and Johnny Dixon are two prime examples, along with Hunter Norzad. So, it's definitely another factor, and it does make it a little harder. Like, you know, you look at Iowa. How does Cade McNamara fit in at Iowa?
Right.
You know, do they change things because he's there? We'll see.
Yeah, no question. This has been obviously a tough time in the business. You talked about not going out to Indianapolis, but you were able to watch it on BTN.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the New York Times has cut out a sports staff. The Athletic has laid off people. ESPN has laid off people. How tough is the business right now, and how creative do you have to be to keep churning out the stories that makes the audience interested but makes management interested as well?
Oh, boy. Do you have an hour?
Yeah. No, I'm glad. I'm interested in this.
It's very challenging. I still believe, maybe because I just turned 64, that game stories are important. And this isn't the kind of game stories as Steve Jones passed for 274 yards and 3 touchdowns. No. You find the story behind the story.
Yes.
And it's harder to do with you know, at Penn State, especially with how many various outlets cover the team, it's harder to find that. But you try to. And I think that's what I have tried to do throughout my career, is try to be creative in the way I write and how I approach things. I'll give you an example, Steve, just from my perspective. 2.5 weeks ago, we ran a story on Journey Brown and about how he's doing, and he's doing really well right now. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed him back in May, and I was in the middle of things. And I said, hey, I'm going to get to this. It's probably going to go in the Penn State Football Annual as well, and it is. And I had a great conversation with him and his fiance for about 45 minutes, and he opened up about everything. Okay.
Right.
That was on my mind, like, how is he doing? I have to try to get him. And that's why I did it. So they're the kind of things I like to write, and there are other people who cover Penn State who are in the same boat, like to write about human interests, about the background, where did these guys come from, what have they been through, like the Adisa Isaac story, which I wrote in December, the Theo Johnson story, which I wrote in November. That, to me, is kind of the interesting part of this job, getting to know these players, you know, away from football and what their backstories are. So that's what I try to do. But I don't like the fact, like the LA Times getting rid of game stories. They're going to get rid of box scores and standings. I mean, my son lives in LA. He loves the LA Times. And he had a friend who used to write for the LA Times. And it's a shame because I just think you're doing a disservice to many of your readers. And but anyway, yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, I know, gosh, I don't know how many people just here alone who have been laid off from this business, whether they were in sports or news or whatever. And it hurts. I was just talking to somebody, one of my friends, who was laid off 3 years ago. Just, you know, something unrelated to the business. But, you know, it just reminded me of how lucky I am to be in this business for 42 years and to do it for almost 37 years here at the Reading Eagle. So, yeah, it's a great discussion. You know, it's probably a good discussion. I don't know if you're still an adjunct, but it'd be a good thing to discuss in the Belisario College of Communications, I could tell you that.
Yeah, no, I do talk about it with them along the way, because I think one of the, yes, you want to sell newspapers or sell online subscriptions, whatever. But to me, good journalism, good writers, of which you are, do a great service to the fans. And in the end, isn't that who you're supposed to be serving beyond the bottom line?
Right. I try to write for the fans because they're the ones reading the stories mostly. And, you know, you're right. And it just, you know, nobody, I will say this, you know, I write for Media News Group, which a lot has been said and reported and about this company. But the one thing that this company has done is they do not interfere with how you cover things and what you cover. Again, there are other issues involved, but they're not telling you have to do this or you have to do that. And I appreciate that. And you know, I hope to do this for a little while longer anyway. I mean, knock on wood, I feel really well right now. And you know, I'd like to continue it. So, you know, we'll see. But it's a hard business, and it hurts me to see young people with ability, like my son's friend who wrote for the LA Times, Fox Sports, and The Athletic. He got out of the business, and he's 31 or 32. And he, you know, wrote a book about the Dodgers, and he's immensely talented, but he was tired of the business the way it is. So that saddens me. It really does.
Yeah, no, same here. And you know, I'm the type that likes to pick up a paper at my own leisure and actually physically read the paper. And I'm seeing too many papers either cut back on sports, run AP copy, which I already know, or becoming pamphlets. And that's not serving the sports fan. You know? And that's
I think
that's who we serve.
Well, here's another thing you didn't mention, and something that it's on our minds here. Our deadline right now, today, 6 nights of the week, is 7:30. 7:30, yeah.
Yeah.
And when this company took over, the deadline was, I don't know if it was 9 or 8. And there were a lot of times we didn't get Phillies games in the next day, and we heard about it.
Yep.
And there's nothing we can do about it. This is how we're told, this is our deadline, and this is it. I mean, that's the way it is. There's a lot. I love this business, and I tell young people, I just told somebody this about a month ago. He's in college. He's at Penn State. And I said, give yourself a couple years in this business. You will know if you were meant to be in it for the rest of your life or not. It gets in your blood, and it does. And I love it. I love this business, and we'll love it till the day I leave this earth.
And we love the fact that you're in it. It means a lot.
Oh, stop.
No, it does. No, really, you're a pro's pro. I mean, it's like anybody around you knows that.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve.
Thanks so much for the time today. I look forward to seeing you at Media Day.
Yeah, it's only, 9 days away?
Yeah. So here we go.
Incredible. All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks again.